Thank you, ladies, for the good song. Thank you, folks, for being here tonight. Find it in your Bible, please, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. If I sound like I'm rushed tonight, there's a reason for that. My good friend Earl Sides met me when I came in. Spent a good deal of time telling me how busy they were tonight and all the things you had to do. And he said, just don't be long. It's so encouraging when you get ready to go like that, you know. He basically said, ain't nobody here as interested in what you're saying as you are. So I got the message. Let's pray and we'll go home. I am glad to be here. It's a bunch of old friends here. I mean, old. It's always good to see them, make new friends, and just be encouraged to see the good Sunday night crowd that's here tonight. I suppose someone could say, well, you're standing in for Brother Gillette tonight. Well, that would be an honor, but I'm not. I want to stand in for Jesus tonight. Matter of fact, anyone who gets up to preach ought to say, I want to stand in for Jesus tonight in Christ's stead. You know, that's a consuming thought, that a man would say what Christ wanted him to say, do what Christ wanted him to do, to be used of him. Someone penned a long time ago, God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. God has no feet but our feet to lead men to his way. We are the only Bible this careless world will ever read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, written in deed and word. What if that line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? So I stand in his place tonight to say what he would say. And in so doing, I possibly will preach to one person, maybe just one individual with great needs, one with problems that seemed to overwhelm them. Someone said, well, this is the Sunday night church crowd. This is the choir crowd. I know. And what you see ain't what you get. Yeah. I mean, we put our best face on to come to church, don't we? Someone asks you how you're doing, you dare not tell them because you know they don't want to know. So, fine, doing okay, how you doing? Pretty standard stuff. I clipped something out a while back. It's been a good while now. And it's sort of like these scans they have that they scan your body with. And they just take slice after slice after slice. And when they're all through, supposedly they've seen the problems and what's there and what's going on. I want you to listen to the clipping. It's a slice out of humanity, which, if we're honest, then means it's a slice right out of our church, sitting here tonight. And I'd like for you to listen. The sermon begins. During the first three sentences, expectant faces look up toward the preacher. A single mother sighs, praying her children will let her make it through the sermon, maybe even listen. An older man in failing health turns up his hearing aid. Frustrated and angry with diminishing strength and energy, he searches to make sense of his losses. A high school sophomore, trained with an MTV conditioned attention span, she's not trained to listen long, is nervous. A successful business person caught in the depths of depression hopes to find an alternative for suicide. A Bible class teacher dealing with major moral failure seeks to find hope. A married couple sitting together in the pew but hardly speaking at home hope to find some renewed marriage love. A frustrated parent of an angry teen looks for confidence. A widow's eyes fills with tears as she places a hand in the empty seat beside her on the pew, wondering if it'll ever be that way again. A cancer patient needs a reason to suffer through another chemo session. A nurse exhausted from a 12-hour pressure-filled shift hopes for renewal. A lonely soul hopes for connection with others. New Christians hope to build faith. Longtime Christians hope for revival. Debaters want a convincing argument. Condemners want a reason to feel superior. Tired church volunteers long for a boost. Frazzled church staffers need a shot in the arm. Deacons need to be uplifted. The confused seek wisdom. The guilty seek forgiveness. The sad seek help. The mad seek release. The glad seek rejoicing. The preacher stands. For three sentences, everyone listens carefully, and they have one question. They're wondering, is there any word from the Lord for me today? You say it's not like that in our church. It's like that in every church. People hurt. There are things going on here that you'll never know about. And they come to church looking for help. Is there a word from the Lord? We'll not turn there because I've been rushed and I'm nervous. But Jeremiah had an incident like that sort of culminated in the 37th chapter of Jeremiah, and the judgment of God had fallen on that people. It was bad times. It got so bad the king had Jeremiah brought into him secretly and asked him that question, is there any word from the Lord? I love Jeremiah's answer, don't you? He said, there is. And whatever you're dealing with tonight, my friend, there is an answer from the Lord. Amen. It's a marvelous, wonderful truth. That person filled with great needs, that person with problems that overwhelm them, that person with great burdens, won't you draw a circle around yourself tonight? This will be a personal visit. Nothing new, but very, very personal. You notice one of those old verses we use, we probably don't pay enough attention to it, but in Luke 19:10 it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you notice it said that, not those? See, the Bible is a very personal book. It deals with what we deal with, you see. And when you go to reading those parables about those lost things, it was one sheep, not 100 sheep. It was one coin, not 5 coins. You know, it's always one prodigal son. God is interested in you. Somebody said, how do you know? There is a word from the Lord. Could I read it in your hearing? You're open there to Isaiah chapter 43. We're coming again here out from the judgment of God. You read the earlier chapters and the verses up through chapter 42, and it's not a good time. It's a wilderness time for them. You come to chapter 43 and verse 1. I'll just take those first two words to the bank. But now. Things about to change. But now. Oh, bad times, yep. But now. And it's the most wonderful story. Let's listen to it. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. And since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I want to speak to you tonight on the simple word, whosoever. That gets me in. Amen. Whosoever. The songwriter put it this way. I hope he meant what he said, because I mean it when I read it. Said, I am happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds, he had clouds. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will come to him and say. And then you have that wonderful verse, whosoever will. It's a whosoever kind of a lesson that we're having tonight. It's a whosoever visit. If you ever go into if you're real brave, walk into the 2 and 3 year old class or the 4 and 5 year old class, you want a friend, just stick a finger out. One of them will take it. It's a finger to a youth. It's a hand to a middle-aged person. It's take my arm to an old person, but it's reaching out to whosoever. The rich or poor, the intelligent, nor the illiterate, the sick, the well, the young, the old. Best of all, though, excuse me, but best of all, whosoever meaneth me. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. That's you tonight. Trouble at home? Whosoever meaneth you. Bad health? Whosoever meaneth you. Don't put it off on somebody else. You know. I want to share a word from the Lord with you. It's a wonderful. You say, well, preacher, Isaiah chapter 43 is written to the Israelites, God's particular people. Well, it was written to the Israelites, but it wasn't God's only particular people. Amen. Peculiar people. If you'll read sometime, not right now, but if you'll read sometime over there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, you'll see where the Bible says he hath redeemed us as a peculiar people. Amen. What a wonderful thing it is. So four thoughts tonight that I want to share with you, and I'll get Earl out of his snotty thing he's got going on. Could I read verse 4 again and invite you to look at it? I'm talking about a word from the Lord now. Since thou wast precious in my sight and have been honorable, here's a word from the Lord for you. I have loved thee. Did you get it? I have loved thee. Now, we be Baptists. We're quick to remind each other. Yeah, we all know that God loves the world. No, no, no. God loves you. Amen. God loves me. Amen. The world just gets in on that, you see. No better news in the world. I never heard any better news than that. when I was a 13-year-old boy in a little sawmill town in northwest Louisiana, down at the commissary, the company store. They had an old meat cutter. He never said much, but he told me one day, he said, "Son, did you know Jesus loves you?" I never had heard better news. I never had heard anybody say, "I love you." Never had. And here's an almost stranger telling me that Jesus loves me. Could I pass that on to you tonight, ma'am? Amen. You, sir. You whose health's gone. You who are hurting. God knows you. God loves you. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. The songwriter said, "I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of the love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but greatest, and this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me." I have no better news for you than that. A good word from God tonight. That's the message. Now, I could have preached on hell tonight and got a lot of amens. I could preach on the second coming. I could preach on the judgment seat of Christ. I could preach on the great white throne judgment. And I believe all of that. But I do believe that if Jesus could come tonight, he'd want to say, "I love you, Earl. I love you. I love you."
Amen.
That's just the way it is, you see. A blessed, wonderful word from God tonight. In your mess, God loves you.
Amen.
Let's get a second word from the Lord in verse 1 now. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name." God knows your name. You say, "I don't, how do you keep up with that?" I don't know. The Bible says he knows the name of all the stars. I think there are more of them than there are us.
Amen.
Says he made them and named them. So probably he does know our name. No probably to it. He knows our name. I never have cared much for somebody saying, "Hey, you." Matter of fact, I won't look, because my name ain't you. No, he knows your name. I don't know everybody's name. I'd like to, but I don't. And if you told me, I'd forget, but I can't help that. But I'd like to know everybody's name. But God knows your name. And so he said, "Bill, come to me. Sarah, come to me. Joe, come to me." He calls us by name. It's a wonderful thing. He says, "I have called thee by name." Listen, God knows. And that means he's got your number. Yeah. See, he knows the pain you feel in your body. He knows all about that. He knows the burden you bear. He knows the guilt because of what you did, or the guilt because of what you haven't done. He knows all of that. He knows your sorrows and he knows your needs, and he still loves you. Matthew 11 is a wonderful, wonderful passage in verse 28, 29, and 30. It's been used so many times, hadn't taken a bit of the proof and truth out of it. Listen. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now, I want you to understand something. He said, "I've called thee by name." So he doesn't say, "Hey, you, come unto me." He says, "Hey, Earl, come unto me. I'll give you rest for your soul. I'll give you the good stuff. Hey, John, come unto me. Come unto me." It's an amazing thing. We go like this. Nobody cares and nobody knows. Nobody knows what I'm going through, you know. you watched too many of that old hillbilly music song for this thing. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh, if you've met Jesus, you've had marvelous, wonderful, providential care from God that'll last you through the ages. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. You're all out of whack. That's a theological term. You've been messed with, messed up. You think, what's the use? Everything in the world. And Jesus says, now look, I love you. He said, I've called you by your name. But I want you to look, and let's look at verse 1 a little bit more here. It gets quite interesting. Let's just read the whole thing. It's good. But now, all this judgment of God back through here, all of these things that have been going on, he said, but now, saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name. And he said, thirdly, thou art mine. We need to be real careful about who we belong to. God said, thou art mine. I like that. See, I'm his.
Amen.
I'm his. The hymn says, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. See, he loves us so much. I know that God is unlimited in every area. God is limitless. But it seems like when you read the Bible, he says, now the folks that are going to be reading this, and especially House, he's got some limits. And so I better make it simple. And when he comes to the greatest things he's ever provided, he seeks that adjective to describe it. Now, if it was us, we'd open the dictionary and we'd find some seven-syllable word and then add something to it. But when God described it, he says, for God so loved. S-O. That's all he needed to say. It goes back to that great love and that great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, you know God's got better words than that. Yeah, but we wouldn't get it. I got that. God so loves me. And my salvation that he provided is so great. God loves us so much. Somebody said, what's the problem? It's a thing called unreturned love. You remember Jacob and Leah and Rachel? It's the most interesting story. And of course, Jacob got all bent out of shape, and him and Mama got to conniving, and he had to leave and go over to stay with his Uncle Laban. Wanted to marry Rachel. She was beautiful. She also was the younger of two. And so Jacob hooked up with Laban. He was going to work for him 7 years, and he was going to get Rachel. And Uncle Laban was kind of sorry himself, and he switched them, and he got Leah. Now it says Leah wasn't so hot. I mean, she's kind of... But he was the husband now of both of them, Leah and Rachel. He served 7 more years. Loved Rachel very much. She's beautiful. Didn't care for Leah. But Leah loved him with all her heart. And the whole story goes as she had son after son after son trying to get Jacob to return her love. Never happened. For you who have joined many of us in burying a loved one's body that you've loved more than life itself, perhaps. You know, when you do that and you cover up that grave, you don't cover up your love. It doesn't go away. It's just unreturned anymore. A very unhappy time when your love is unreturned. There's no way to describe it till you've been there. So I'd like to ask you tonight, if God loves us so much and we're not in any way returning that love, how do you think that affects the relationship? That unreturned love, no response. And God looks down on you today and says, I love you. Question, are we returning his love? Now watch. I love you. I know your name. Thou art mine. Now we read verse 2 and our last thought. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Some of you in deep water, aren't you? If you tell the truth, you're in deep water. And you really don't know what to do. You got a word from the Lord tonight. Just start returning his love. I'll be with you through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When thou walkest through the waters, I will be with you. What waters? The waters of death. I read years ago concerning a doctor in France who developed a medication to keep folks from dying of illness. Guess what he died from? Illness. A French duke forbade the use of the word death. Guess what? He died. It's amazing. I've lived through quite a number of the most powerful men in the world's life. Listen as I call off their name. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. During his lifetime, in the latter part of it, the most powerful man in the world. Guess what happened to Franklin D. Roosevelt? He died. Harry Truman, president that followed him, most powerful man in the world, the man who approved the loosing of the most powerful bomb known in the world at that time, he died. Dwight D. Eisenhower, he died. John F. Kennedy, he died. Lyndon Baines Johnson, he died. Richard Nixon, he died. Gerald Ford, he died. Ronald Reagan, he died. George Bush, he died. Let me put it this way. They died. We all must die. But we can face it with or without the Lord. That's our choice. He said plainly, I will be with thee. Some folks here, like me, they're just entering a more mature age. Then there's some old people here, very old. But the interesting thing is, young people die just like old people. Everyone here who's pastored over the years has experienced the burying of all ages. I've buried little babies, carried a little coffin in my hands to the little grave. I buried a mother and a little baby together in the coffin. Both died in an automobile accident. I buried the 18-year-old Vietnam veteran they've shipped back home after he gave his life for his country. I buried the young and I buried the old. You know, and from the crib to the nursing home, God still says, I'll go with you.
Amen.
I'll go with you.
Amen.
For some, the sunset of life is very near. There's an old song, I've heard it all my life. For some reason, Wanda has started singing it around the house. You know, we get up in the morning. Wanda gets up singing, I get up saying, hush. Be quiet. People are not supposed to talk when they first get up, much less sing. You know. But there's that, and she sings this song. I can hear her, you know. Life's evening sun is sinking low. I mean, such a joyful song. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done. That's something to consider, for there will be no setting sun. When we leave this little temporary learning experience here, we go to that place of eternal joy where we won't need the sun or the moon or the light of the stars. Jesus Christ will be the light thereof.
Amen.
But are we ready? Rush Limbaugh, a lot of folks listen to him. I never could. He made me nervous, but a lot of folks, I mean, he's dead, so let's don't talk bad about him. When he got the diagnosis, his entire philosophy of life changed. If you ever listen to him through the years, Rush Limbaugh lived for Rush Limbaugh. And that's not bad if you won't let that be the only one. But everything changed. And in his last days, he said, I now have a very personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what you want to be sure of tonight. See? God says to that older Christians as they gasp for that final breath, I'll be with you through the waters. I hear people talk about crossing Jordan's chilly waters. They're not chilly if you're saved. Nothing chilly about it. Let's do a fact check. I mean, that's the popular thing anymore. Fact check. Are you ready? Fact check. Fact check number one. All have sinned. No exceptions. Just don't bother telling me how good you are. I'll just take it for granted. Just don't tell me. All have sinned. Fact check. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Amen.
Absolutely. Fact check number three. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Fact check, all have sinned. Fact check, sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Fact check, God commended his love toward us. Now, when are we going to commend our love toward him? When's it going to happen? You're so busy with your job and so busy with this and so busy with that. When is it going to happen? It's our turn now. You know, you return that love to him. You may be a church member and unsaved. You know. You know, some make a profession when they're children, never saved. But you know, when you're like that, the future is so uncertain. I mean, you're going to hell and you don't know when. I'm not going to live like that. God loves you. God wants you to return. And I'm so glad that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
And you. Sometimes we used to sing, O love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong. it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Amen.
Now, is there a word from the Lord for that hurting Christian? Yep. I have loved thee. I have called thee by name. I mean, how much better news do you want? Thou art mine, and I'll go with you through the waters. Would you bow your head, please? Christians are praying. I wonder, and I know this is some of the best folks in town right here tonight. But I wonder, while heads are bowed, how many would be willing to just honestly say, you know, preacher, there's a lot of things I don't know. But I know that he loves me. I know that I'm saved, and I know he is mine. And I want to join in prayer with you. Would you just lift your hand up? Let me pray for you. You know. That's wonderful. I wonder, before I pray, if there's someone here and you say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I do believe that God loves me. I do believe Jesus Christ died for me, but I'm not sure I've ever really been born again, that I've ever really repented of my sin and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And with life marching on and no hope except in Jesus Christ, I need to say that I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but if I could know it, I'd like to know it, and I wish you'd pray for me. Is there someone here like that? You just quietly lift your hand. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out, but I sure pray for you. Anywhere in the building, not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Just slip your hand up for just a moment till I see it. Anywhere in the building. All right. Everyone here professes to be saved. It's a time to make an old-fashioned commitment to return God's love to him. Father, thank you for this time of invitation. I pray that we could understand in our hurt, our problems, our trials, our disappointments, that you're right here with us. And nothing ever comes our way until you've approved it to work together for our good. So help us tonight to just commit to return that great love in the way you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, the music begins. You let God have his way. The altars wait right now. You come on.